This is 91.1 WEDM, and you are listening to Inside the Huddle.
Welcome to another edition of Inside the Huddle. Today I am with Ms. Kennedy Bland, and she is here to represent lacrosse.
Hello, it's Kennedy.
Well, nice meeting you. My first question is, can you tell us just the basics about lacrosse for the people who aren't really too fond with lacrosse?
It's a pretty new sport. Basically, it's kind of like a combination of every sport that you can think of. A lot of soccer, a lot of basketball, just in the way it's set up with defense and offense. We do use sticks, which is a very foreign thing for most people. We have to learn to catch and throw specifically with those sticks and shoot in that way. But the setup and just how the game is played is a lot like soccer or basketball.
And what in particular made you join lacrosse?
My best friend in middle school always talked about it. We're on our sixth year of the program, and so it was super new whenever I first came, and I just wanted to be in a program that was on the rise.
How has lacrosse impacted you as a person?
It's really made me, it's given me a lot of independence. Again, it is a super new sport, so coaching and everything is new as well. You have to learn a lot of things for yourself. It also has helped me with my time management, just being a student athlete overall. And it's really helped me become a team player in every aspect of my life, whether that's school, work, or again in lacrosse, just being in that environment.
So like during a season, for example, how does like a regular day look for you?
To be honest, it's kind of nerve-wracking. On a day-to-day, on a game day, mostly I'm trying to stay focused during school, make sure I get that into that mindset early on in the day. And that after school, our coach always makes sure that we get homework help, anything we need, because a student does come first, being a student athlete. We get homework help, do whatever we need. All of our coaches are a teacher of some subject, so we always have help available. We just all really make sure we stay in the game mindset, and we go out and play our hardest.
Now, for the people who don't know, lacrosse is a spring sport. So do you know when your season starts?
Right now, we're starting our preseason workouts and practices. That's just to teach the new girls how to play. Our actual season is going to be starting. We're going to start heavily practicing during second semester, and then our first game is actually in March.
So what is the difference between like a regular season practice and just like a condition?
So a regular season practice, we assume that everybody at that time knows the game. During conditioning and preseason, since it is a new sport, we're really just teaching the girls the very basics of the game, just making sure everybody feels comfortable just going out to a real practice.
Now, when it comes to lacrosse, and you guys are, you know, it's a high school sport, so every year you guys are bringing like incoming freshmen. How do you like transition the sport onto them for the people who want to play?
It's not even with the sport being so new, it's not even just freshmen. We have new girls coming junior, senior year even. So every year it is a huge transition. That is why we start practicing so early, just because so we can teach them very early on.
What are your predictions for this upcoming season?
This upcoming season, we do have a lot of returning players. Last year, we had to start completely over, so that is looking good for us for varsity. But for JV, there is a ton of new players coming in, so I'm just looking out for the best for the JV, and hopefully we can get some girls up onto varsity.
Now, what are some of the team goals for lacrosse this year?
For the team goals this year, last year wasn't too great of a season for us, and we're trying to just get those wins up, and our team chemistry could definitely be worked on, and so we're also doing team bonding activities early on, so we can try to get that up.
Now, what are some of your personal goals for this upcoming lacrosse season?
This upcoming lacrosse season, I am a team varsity captain, so I'm just wanting to be helpful to all of my girls on my team. And also, I'm playing a new position, so I'm hopefully going to get some more goals this year instead of just defense.
So you said that you are a varsity captain. How did you, like, earn your way to becoming a varsity captain?
I just made sure that I was there for every practice. I gave it my all. I wasn't the best starting out, but I just knew that I needed to keep trying and just being consistent. And I think my coach really appreciated that and saw the leadership in me.
Well, thank you for speaking with me this week. It was nice having you.
Thank you.
91.1 WEDM. Welcome to this installment of Inside the Huddle. I am Colin Echols, and with me this week is Ty Getty. Ty, how you doing this week, sir?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm not doing bad. Dude, MLB season just ended. The World Series, crazy. First off, shout out to the Red Sox, the best team. Dude, I know you're a Yankees fan, all right? But you got to give credit to the Red Sox.
Yeah, but
it's an impressive season.
I didn't want to see them go.
But you can't
but
lie.
But they are good. I can't lie about that, but.
But you have to give them some props, and, of course, congratulations, as always, to the Red Sox on being the world champions. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. You got to give them congratulations for that.
They was leading in the total games they've won this season, though.
I noticed that.
I don't think anybody really passed them on that.
No, they were.
I think they was in the top the whole
They were
in the top standing the whole
the
time.
The top two the whole year.
Yeah.
Because
if not, they was tied.
Yeah. No, they were an extremely phenomenal team, an extremely phenomenal season for them, and a really, really good World Series. I'll be honest, I called a sweep at the beginning. I can't even lie. I really
I
thought they were going to come in and go with a sweep.
It was a good series. It was a good matchup.
Oh, it did. Yeah, it was a good matchup. I'll give you that.
Series-wise, if LA would have been able to last longer, then yeah, it would have been a good series. The matchup was wonderful. Seeing both those two incredible teams go at each other. But seeing them get out only winning one game was a disappointment to really watch. Like, especially, I'm pretty sure all the fans was disappointed, too.
Well, of course, a Dodger fan would be. But the Red Sox, I mean, the first time in 5 years they've won, that doesn't seem like too long. But for a franchise like the Red Sox, that is a long time.
It's more of for the Boston, they represent Boston. You got the Boston Celtics, and you got the Red Sox, and then the state of Massachusetts, you got the
Patriots.
They're always having some type of like parade for one of their sports one of their teams won.
Yeah, no, but I really think the first off, Boston won the first two at home at Fenway.
Going into the third one.
We can put this out there right now. Fenway is one of the hardest stadiums to win at.
Yeah. One of the
hardest.
And
then we get to game three, which was a record-setting, history-making game. All right? 18 innings total. Total time was 7 hours and 20 minutes. And you can get a solid 9-inning game in under 4 hours.
But 18 innings.
18 innings.
How many strikeouts was there?
Okay, so here's the record-setting stats from that night.
Okay.
And this is combined between every team. So okay, Dodgers and Red Sox, it's all put into one stat. 561 total pitches. 46 players used. 118 total at-bats. 18 innings, like I said. 18 pitchers used. So I think it was 9 for each team.
That's a lot of pitchers.
34 strikeouts. That's a lot of strikeouts. And then the total time, like I said, was 7 hours and 20 minutes.
For a game, you know this was a good matchup for a game to It's a good matchup for a game to last 7 hours and have 18 innings.
I will say this, though. That was the turning point for the Dodgers to lose this. Because I'll be honest, there were a couple times that the Dodgers looked like they were going to come back and beat the Red Sox at home.
Yeah, but you also got to think about it like this. The Dodgers, it's not like they're not a bad team. They're here for a reason. They saw that they messed up their first two games, and they was like, we can't go out like this. No, because if they know, if they would have known, they would have lost their third game. All confidence would be lost going into the fourth game, to where Boston can win the series.
No, yeah.
So they came out in this third game and showed that they still want to be in this, and they're still trying to. They still have this little chance to win.
But here's the thing, though. I think the problem with Game 3 going 18 innings, I have no problem with, because that's just double the amount of baseball that I get to watch, right?
Yeah.
I enjoy watching baseball, especially the World Series. Honestly, really the only time I watch it is postseason, because honestly, if we're going to talk about it, MLB is a little bit boring to watch on TV.
Yeah.
It's a very slow game. But the World Series is always, there's always something exciting happening in the World Series. So the problem with Game 3, I feel like, is the Dodgers didn't plan strategically enough for an 18-inning game. No, I mean, first off, no team plans for an 18-inning game, right? At any level.
Yeah, like.
But I feel like what happened with the Red Sox is they came in and they threw a pitcher like 2 innings max. I think the longest that a pitcher went past 8 or 9 was an inning and a half, maybe 2 innings. So they're switching their pitchers out almost every one. Meanwhile, the Dodgers are kind of running their guys into the ground a little bit. I mean, they pitched the starter all the way through 7 or 8, and then were pitching their guys for 3 or 4 innings at a time. So I feel like had they not done that and worn their pitchers' arms out, they would have come out in the rest of the series and maybe pulled out a World Series win. And another thing to build on top of that is if they would have got the Milwaukee season series over with quicker and not taking that to 7, they probably would have won the World Series.
Yeah. Of course. Because Boston, they're a superb team. Like, they're one of the best teams in the current MLB right now. If you think about it, do you know their record off the top of your head, or at least estimate of how many games they've won?
I know it was over 130.
They're winning over 130 games. They wasn't going to... Do you know how many LA won?
I'm sorry, it was 108 and 54.
108. Do you know how much LA won?
LA was at 92 and 71.
See, they're not even that far off. They're off by what?
16 games.
16 games.
So, okay, 16 games does sound like a lot, but
in
if
MLB,
you think about
it's really not a lot.
You're playing over 100 games.
You got to at least win, I mean lose a couple. You got to lose some.
But the thing with the Dodgers is they were sitting at 92 and 71, right? That's only 56% win. Yeah, they're sitting just over 500, and Boston was nowhere near 500. But still, I mean, the Dodgers were still an absolutely phenomenal team. Their only problem, in my opinion, was they didn't get the series with Milwaukee over quick enough. Had they got out of there in quicker than 7, they may have been able to pull off a World Series win. And had they planned a little bit better during that third game that went 18 innings, they probably also would have been able to make a comeback and at least take it to 7.
And for the Dodgers, to me, they wasn't ready. I don't think they was physically prepared enough.
No, I mean, if you look at the stats and just the overall performance, Clayton Kershaw, I want to start with him. Honestly, one of the best pitchers in the MLB.
Yeah.
Regardless. Everybody will admit that Clayton Kershaw is probably one of the top 10 pitchers in the league. Extremely nasty 12-6 curve. Can strike out any batter on any pitch. Doesn't matter. Postseason comes and he's normally an absolute monster. And don't get me wrong, phenomenal job pitching by him this postseason. But his only problem was he got rocked in game 1 at Fenway.
Yeah.
And he got rocked in game 5. Had he not gotten rocked in those two games,
they could have.
I think he struggled a little bit in game 1 and game 5. Had he not struggled in game 5 and they would have won, I think they definitely could have taken it to 7.
It's just an odd
kind of circumstance for him. A little bit of a bad year.
Yeah. But it wasn't really just all of, you know, his. You were seeing little mistakes out there on the field. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, there were definitely mistakes, but even players, Cody Bellinger, too. Cody Bellinger is, in my opinion, strictly a regular season player. I think.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because if you look at him during the at him during the regular season, and that's a heavy statement. I won't deny that that's not a heavy statement. But the thing is, if you look at him during the year, he's hitting at least a home run every three games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's smacking that ball. You come in game 4 and game 5, you go 0-4 game 4, 0-5 game 5. That is not a postseason player.
That is actually, that's, in my opinion, is horrible.
Well, no, not even in your opinion. I mean, your opinion is your opinion.
Yeah, I'm just saying, because you know some people be out there.
Statistically,
you know,
like, that is bad.
Yes, that is very bad.
So I got to go Stephen A. on him real quick and say that he is strictly a regular season player. He is not living up. He did it against the Astros, too, last year.
Yeah, yeah.
He came in regular season. One of the leading home run hitters in the league. Comes in the postseason, nothing.
Where's he at? I can't see him.
But let's talk about the Red Sox regular season real quick. The Red Sox, talk of the season all season, obviously.
Yeah, you couldn't stop hearing their name.
Red Sox was in every article from the MLB. Yes. Let's start off. Early in the season, Baltimore Orioles are playing the Red Sox. Manny Machado, who will later get traded to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Has I believe the headline was dirtiest slide of the year into Dustin Pedroia, who was playing short at the time, tears a tendon in his knee, done for the season. So, I think personally, that is not revenge for the Red Sox, but that is probably one of the ways that they wanted to end that.
But going into next season, how do you feel like David Price? You heard that he declined all trade going into free agent and staying with the Red Sox.
That is a smart move for him. A very, very smart move for him.
They're paying him $127 million. Don't quote me on that.
It's $127
million. $127 million, and he's staying with the Red Sox. He declined every single offer from everybody else and said he's not going to free agency.
Now, that's obviously a good move for him. He's going to stay with the best franchise in history, arguably.
Yeah, yeah.
For the next at least 3 or 4 years.
But he was passed around a lot going team to team.
David Price, not so much. But here's the thing with David Price. He is an up-and-down player. Last year he had a good season. Of course, they didn't make it to the finals, whatever. He's not having the greatest season this year. He comes in and he does the opposite of what most people would think. Not the best regular season, has a really high ERA, for those of you that don't know, earned run average. Has a pretty high ERA, about 3.5, I think. Comes into the World Series. And the 2 or 3 games that he pitched, 7, 8, and 9 Ks. That is outstanding for a pitcher to throw that many Ks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially in a postseason game when tensions are high and everyone's on their A game. All right? David Price comes in, shows out. He made the right decision staying with the Red Sox. And the Red Sox did the right thing signing him that large extension.
So we can admit that the Red Sox was one of the, is, if not the, best team in the MLB right now, and they deserve the win that they just got.
No, yeah, for sure. But then on another side of that, you look at people that they picked up.
Yeah,
I mean, this was not a rebuild year. I know it's first year with a new manager, whatever. It's not a rebuild year. You come in first year as a manager,
yeah, yeah,
and you win a World Series. All right, look. First year as a manager, you'd think it'd be a rebuild year. Not a rebuild year at all. Arguably one of the best teams. You lose Pedroia, you pick up a few guys. Who is, in your opinion, the biggest player that they picked up this year? I know who it is in my head. Names start with an S and end with a P, and his last name starts with a P. You can disagree with me, but I think that Steve Pierce was the most important player that the Red Sox picked up this year.
I've heard his name almost more than anybody else's name in the MLB right now. off of me reading what I've been reading and like looking at highlights I've been looking at, I've seen his a lot.
And here's the thing. Before those couple breakout games that he had, the first two starts he got, didn't hear his name hardly at all. He goes 4-for-4 in two games on home runs. Every single one of them was home run. Right? Okay. Postseason, named the World Series MVP. Over Mookie Betts, who was predicted to get it.
Yeah, I was actually shocked about that because I really thought it was going to be Mookie Betts to get it because he was having
trying to combine phenomenal and marvelous.
Yes, a phenomenon year. Yeah, that's what we're going to use.
A phenomenon year. So yeah, he was having an awesome year for Mookie Betts, but he's still probably going to get the overall MVP for the year. Regular season and postseason combined, he's going to get the MVP. Not World Series, just MVP. He's probably going to get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, there's not much else you can say about that. I mean, what's your, you have any last thoughts, like, on the season or anything overall?
No, that's it.
I mean, I personally thought it was a really fun season to watch. I thought it was a really solid season. Astros, Yankees, and Red Sox all stayed at the top all year. Three really solid teams.
They've deserved the wins that they got. I'm just disappointed to see it wasn't the Yankees. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
But this is this week's segment of Inside the Huddle here with Colin Echols. Tune in for the next segments right here on 91.1
WEDM, and I'm here with the Warren Central defensive back crew.
What's up?
For
what's
this
up?
Podcast. Yo. I'm gonna introduce them right now. We have number one on the field, number one in your hearts. We got Fred.
No, we ain't even rocking with that.
Yeah, we got Mr. Rondo number 9.
Oh, what's happening?
Willie Gupton. Then we got JJ two times, Mr. 24 himself. What's yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're about to get into a lot of exclusive topics in this podcast. So let's stay tuned and let's get it going. So I'm going to start it off with a couple questions here. So we're going to start with Fred Talley. So tell us the best game that you've had this season.
Individually?
Personally, yeah.
Personally, the best game I probably had probably was BD. Pink out. Started it. You know what I'm saying? Got a few tackles. Could have had a pick. Few deceptions. You know, the crowd was going crazy when I came on the field.
Yeah, atmosphere.
You know what I'm saying? Crazy. Everything was cool. Shout out to Miss Jenny Sue. Everybody in the hood, I appreciate y'all. But everything was good. Everything was right. And that's why it was probably... Why it was my best game.
Well, wasn't that a teacher appreciation night?
Teacher appreciation was not. Ellen, speaking of that, though, shout out Miss McEwen, Stony Brook. You know what I'm saying? Came out with her. Respect. So that's probably one of my highlights, too. Ellen.
Yeah, I like that.
Right.
Willie G. Talk to me.
Personally, my best performance was probably the pipe game. I got my first varsity interception. I ain't getting nowhere with it, though. I fell like 2 yards. But I was feeling myself that game. Respect. With a couple tackles.
So yeah. What was the atmosphere like when you got that pick?
Oh, my team turned up. That was the best part. Coming on the sideline, getting that blood bell, holding it up.
The blood bell.
Turned up.
Yeah. So what was going through your head when you realized that ball was in your hand?
Man, I thought I was going to – I saw a whole lane, as you would say. I got some blocks, and then next thing I know, I was on the ground.
You thought it was Tutty.
Yeah.
You thought it was Tutty. I feel you.
I was looking forward to that blood belt, though.
Yeah. Okay. Let's jump to Javion Tutone. JJ, talk to me. What was your best game of the season?
Just like my boy Rondo number 9, you know, that pipe game. I had two picks. The first pick, could have had a 6. My Jets wasn't up to the where they was supposed to be at, you feel me?
Yeah.
Came a little short, but my team scored, you know, Ramir, you know. Speaking of him, bro, just want player of the week, something like that. He out there doing big things. Yeah, and y'all see him, congratulate that dude, though. Yeah, he out there clowning him and Dave. Yeah, but yeah, I could have scored. I ended up short, but I went to that sideline. I got that blood belt. And then on my second pick, I could have been like my former player and took it to the crib, but nah, I got stopped early. Should have waited for the traffic to shift over a little to the right, and I could have cut back left on my bookie mentality, but you know, got snapped up by the quarterback tackled me. Yeah, the quarterback tackled me.
And mind you, we got like 4 picks that game.
It was right there. Hey, but nah, we was eating that night though. I gotta give it to my defense though. Tuck was up in there. He was rallying something. I got that blood belt, you feel me, on that second pitch. You know, I posed for the camera. You know what it is, though. Yeah, we was hyped, though, that night. Yeah, we were just a whole lot of love. Tackles and all that, you feel me?
So, like, what's the What's the funniest moment of this season?
Taz, yeah, caught a fair catch.
Nah, slap.
And my boy, I took four of them steps.
Yeah, he caught him a 15-yarder.
Then another moment, we was in a huddle. You feel me? Us three, same three. 28-1 and 24. We on the sideline, you feel me? I think it was a timeout, you feel me? The team come to the sideline and stuff. And my boy, number one, Fred, he going to say some slack in the middle of the performance or whatever. My coach Clark, you feel me? Yeah, coach Clark. I'm like, what are you on, man? I don't know what he on. You feel me? But yeah, we had some highlights this season. We going for that 9 though.
Yeah, for sure. Hey,
postseason right now.
For sure.
What's the thoughts going into this Friday's game?
Are we going for that 9? Hey, LC, they getting up out of here though. I ain't got too much to talk about that. 47-0 last game. You know what it is, man. They better come play, because that's how we going to come. We going to come with that mentality. You feel me? We ain't going home this early. Not this early. Not second session. Nah.
We ain't going home regardless.
Yeah, we going home. We going home with that ring. You feel me? On that ring thing.
So what's the best receiving core y'all went against this
season?
Are
you serious?
North Central. It had to be North Central. Trayvon Elliott, that little dude nice. Well, he's a senior. I'm younger than him. Yeah, he's nice. Number 12, I forgot his name, but he's nice too.
He's decent.
Yeah.
Against the best receiving core.
Let's
get into that. So tell us how it is, you know, guarding D. Bell.
Oh.
Let the world know.
D. Bell, yeah, that's my man's, man. He doing his thing. Got all American. Shout out him. Shout out to Bo. You already know what's up. Yeah, he cold. Nah, I be locking him up sometimes too.
I've never seen you lock him up.
Bro, come on, I locked him up plenty of times. Bro. I don't know where you been. I've been locking him up.
I'm just be honest with you.
I locked him up a couple times.
Let's not put on.
I mean, he didn't. You feel me? Broke me off down some times. Dude, yeah, that's my man. He doing big things though. Yeah, for sure.
Shout out to Jenny Sue.
I got that from Charlamagne the God. That's what I've been doing for a minute. But nah, it's, you know what I'm saying? You got many P's and Q's guarding him. He got good hands, got good feet, he's fast. He definitely toasts me, you know, he gets the best of me sometimes. But you know what I'm
all
saying? We gonna do what we gotta do. You know what I'm saying? Go for 9. He come over there and play D sometimes. We don't like that really a lot.
All
but hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's giving me the blue, that give me the blue. You know what I'm saying? Cassie getting laid down out here for chains, and we not even about that. You know what I'm saying?
It's the
Brazil
stuff.
All right, well. That concludes our Inside the Huddle podcast for this week. Tune in next week. We'll have another interesting DM. That concludes our interview for this podcast, 91.1 WEDM, Inside the Huddle.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Inside the Huddle. Be sure to tune in next week for more of the same on WEDMFM.com.